man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those winning moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
No, you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Thank you for joining us here at the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show here on Sunday, March 15th. I have to look a little closer, 2020. This is our two-hour mega edition from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And welcome to all of you out there on TalkStream Live. Thank you for joining us. And all you RBN regulars, thank you so much for continuing your support to the Republic Broadcasting Network based in sprawling Round Rock, Texas. Keep that support coming, because are we needing Patriot Radio and Patriot Media here on March 15th. Is this the Ides of March? Might be. I'll have to go look for that line from... It is the Ides of March. Okay, I've forgotten my Shakespeare line from Julius Caesar, but I'll look it up during a break, and we'll make reference to this day. Well, let's see. What can we talk about here on the Ides of March? Well, of course, we'll talk about the... I like to call it the Wuhan virus. I insist on that. Or... An alternate version, the Wuhan Chinese virus. I insist that's what it is, and I love these freaks at of the lamestream, mainstream, fake news media, they're saying it's racist. After spending months calling it the Chinese virus and the Wuhan virus, which they did for months, and it's all documented, it's all on video, and some astute patriot broadcasters are running the video compilations. So they're calling anybody who says Wuhan is a racist, anybody who says that the Chinese virus is Chinese is a racist. So, and actually I like those terms better than COVID-19. COVID-19, do you think you're going to remember that term 5 years from now? But you'll sure remember the Wuhan Chinese virus. You'll know what we're talking about. And then the other term, the coronavirus, that one's a little more identifiable. And it turns out, actually, to be very specific, the coronavirus refers to the disease. I'm not sure exactly what the coronavirus disease would be. And then COVID-19 refers to the exact virus, the actual organism. And COVID, I looked it up a little today. COVID stands for corona. VI stands for virus. D, disease. COVID-19. So there you go. And we'll call it the Wuhan Chinese virus, which came out of Wuhan, which is a city in the province of Hubei, in right smack dab in the middle of China, 58 million people out of 1.4 billion, which is only roughly 4% of China, which produced almost the entirety of the epidemic in China. Now, and you scratch your head. These are things that are worth thinking about, because the media do not portray this. I'll relate to you and relate several things that are not conveyed to you by the fake news media. And then you'll see a pattern in what they're deleting, what they're putting in the memory hole. You'll see the pattern, and then you'll see the what their game is. They're hiding from you things, anything that would cause you not to be hysterical, not to freak out or panic. They are deleting anything that might whip you into a frenzy of hysteria. They are adding that, factual or made up. Doesn't make any difference to them. And there are a lot of made up things, boy, oh boy, in their reporting. But the average person on the street has no idea. For instance, you would say to yourself, some people are familiar with the fact that one of the larger areas claimed by red communist China, illegitimately, illegally, is Tibet. But I'm just making the point here that if you look at a map of China, one of the largest areas in China is the territory of Tibet claimed by China. And this is not too far away from Hubei province. So you would say to yourself, well, from what the media portrays, though, China is just, oh my God, the coronavirus, Chinese virus, Wuhan virus, it's all over the place. The bodies are stacked up. They're lined up. They don't have any room for them in the morgues or the hospitals anymore. They're just lined up like cordwood along the sidewalk. A lot of them in the ditches there. And there aren't enough people to carry the bodies out. Wait a minute. That's not happening. Well, that's the image that you're given of China. I mean, you've seen them. You've seen photo images of black body bags or lined up bodies with sheets on them. And what's being conveyed to you, this is the fake information thing, that all of China's dying. Well, okay, if all of China's dying, let me go to my map here. I'll tell you what, God bless Johns Hopkins University and Hospital and their dashboard, they call it, of the coronavirus. They call it the whole thing, coronavirus COVID-19. Global cases, and it's a part of their university called the Center for Systems Science and Engineering at Johns Hopkins University. And thank goodness this thing exists. I don't know of anything else like it. Without it, I'll tell you what, I'd be blind. I wouldn't have realized what I have realized about the fakery going on by the lamestream media, the enemy of the people. Let's go in the map. By the way, use your scroll wheel on your mouse to expand and contract this map in the middle. So let's go to Tibet. Let us go there. By the way, I'll give you my little Tibet story. As you know, the most honored person on all of Tibet by the Tibetan people is who? Why, it's the Dalai Lama. And my Tibet story is this, and I've always thought very highly of the Dalai Lama and Tibetan Buddhism. I thought very highly of Tibetan Buddhism. And the there's a lot. I'll tell you what, Gautama Buddha was a pretty sharp guy, and some interesting stuff. And an interesting thing in the Buddhist literature, the Pali Canon, P-A-L-I, in Sanskrit, the Buddha is talked about as having blue eyes. Really? Blue eyes. I find that fascinating. And interestingly, his philosophy is very European, that of the Buddha. So there's a great book by a guy, oh, gee, this is really years ago. What was his name? Was it R.H. Blibe? I can't believe I can even remember this. I was just a kid when I read this book. It was called Zen in English Literature. And I thought that was a great book. And where is my copy? Lo, these many years later. I'll have to get another copy and read it. That would be such a flash from the past for me. Zen in English Literature. I think Blythe was the name of the author. I'll have to go look it up. I may be wrong. Anyway, he was taking passages from English literature, including Shakespeare. I wonder if he took something from Julius Caesar. And then comparing it to the literature of Buddhism. Anyway, Tibet is a Buddhist nation. The Dalai Lama is the spiritual leader. There's another fellow called the Panchen Lama. It's kind of a more of a temporal figure. But the honored man in Tibetan history is the Dalai Lama. And my little story is I was sitting on a park, sitting looking at the sunset on Palisades Cliffs there in Santa Monica, sitting there looking out at the sun setting over the Pacific. And there was a guy sitting on the bench just a little ways from me who was also doing the same thing. And in about one microsecond, I was able to observe that, well, he's in the saffron robe of a Tibetan monk. And yeah, he sure is. He's the Dalai Lama. And I couldn't believe it. He's sitting on the bench watching the sunset just as it was. And then his eyes met mine. And he gestured, you know, come on over. Come on over and, you know, enjoy the view together. So I went over and sat down to the next to the Dalai Lama of Tibet. And he actually took my hand. I mean, it's like, whoa. I mean, a Tibetan would tell you that I was just vaulted into the upper reaches of heaven by that contact from the Dalai Lama. But and we talked for a while. He has excellent English. And he asked me about my knowledge of Buddhism and so on. So it was quite an amazing thing. And of course, he's still around, the Dalai Lama. He had to flee Tibet because the Chinese pukes, the Chinese communists, murdered many of his monks, murdered many of his people, tortured many others, and he was driven out of Tibet into India, where he has, you know, set up a sort of his operation outside of Tibet. But now let's go back to my story. Boy, do I digress? So here we are, we're in Tibet now, and which has a lot of interest in European history. Let me look here at my, so you would say, okay, Tibet is a province of China, and it's huge, by the way. The territorial extent of Tibet, I'm just guessing, it's the same size, it's bigger than Iran, I think. about the same size. As Donald Trump would say, huge. It's huge. And the population is not that as huge as the territorial expanse, but it's a big population. I'll go look it up. I've forgotten. A lot there. There's been an influx of Chinese communists have been brought in by the Chinese communist government to overrun the Tibetan people and to exterminate their culture, their religion, who they are. So the now let's go. But so it's another province of China. So you just know there are lots of thousands and thousands of dead people in Tibet. Thousands, and they don't have much in the way of hospitals, I'm sure. So let's look at the total number of people dead in Tibet. Okay, let me just here to kind of build the drama here of this. Let me do a little more research for you here. Just give you what the population of Tibet happens to be right now. Just add to the drama of all of this. I'm interested to know myself. I haven't looked this up in a while. Okay. Tibet. Well, that's a hell of a story, this Tibetan effort to maintain. What brave people. You're kidding. Wait a minute. Here's the article on Tibet. Just a second. Now, remember, the Chinese are corrupting so many things in the West. They have money by the truckload in our companies, and they are twisting and monitoring and censoring what we do. They own a lot of Hollywood. Did you know that? A lot of Hollywood is owned by the Chinese communists. So I'm looking here. Yeah, I'm at the article on Tibet. And, I mean, son of a gun. You know, on every article, on every territory in Wikipedia, I don't care what the territory is, you get the population. Every article. So here I am. I'm looking at the article on Tibet. And they say it's a region in Asia. Not a nation. It's a region. And let's see. But where's the population? That feature of every article on every country, region, or state I've ever seen is missing. Also, the demographics is missing. There's no box on this. Let me just check, make sure I'm not missing something. It's not there. Somebody has told them to not put this in here. I mean, that has to be the case. Wikipedia is very, very uncharacteristically not including. I'm here looking up what is the population of Tibet. I want to know how many Tibetans there are. I want to know how many people the Chinese communists are oppressing. I can't find out in the usual quick reference box, which is missing. There's usually a box that shows the territorial extent, square miles. It shows the population. It shows the government. It shows the ruler or the government system, the capital. This is all missing. I'll tell you why it's not here. Those bastards in China, the communists, I'm not referring to all Chinese, I'm referring to the Chinese communists, who are, in fact, all bastards, because they're some of the worst oppressors who have ever walked the face of the earth. And they remain that to this day. They do organ harvesting from live people, cutting out kidneys and selling them, cutting out the kidneys of their political enemies, who they keep them fed and healthy for organ harvesting. That is happening in China right now. What kind of people do that? Well, the same kind of people that inflicted the Wuhan virus on us. That's who. So I'll try to find out the population of Tibet during this break, and I'll give it to you in just a moment. Then I'm going to give you a surprising statistic. Stay tuned.
It'll still last 10 years like they should. Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
But don't get me started, cause I can get right. I'll make
yes, she can.
For
yeah, that's Gretchen Wilson. She's a firecracker. Don't get her riled. The looked it up here a little bit. The still haven't got a solid figure for the population of Tibet. Apparently, the Chinese communists make it as hard to gain such a number as possible. They are flooding the area with Chinese to swamp the Tibetans, to wipe out their culture, destroy their civilization. The but now let me before I totally lose my point. How many people have the Chinese virus in Tibet, and how many have died thereof? They're from. Okay. Let's see here. Let's look it up. Let me get my map here at Johns Hopkins University. Let's see here. Where is it? There it is. Okay. All right. Drum roll, please. Dun, 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 dun. Brass fanfare. Total number of confirmed cases of Wuhan virus in the huge land of Tibet, whose total acreage I still have not been able to figure out because somebody's not letting somebody put it on the Wikipedia page. One single case. which, by the way, is the same as the number of cases in North Dakota, one single case. And like the case in North Dakota, isn't even sick. The Tibetan case is listed as recovered. One guy or gal, probably very old, because just about everybody who is listed as being sick with the virus is a real oldster. And a number of deaths in Tibet from this, not quite like the number of deaths from the Chinese communist invasion of Tibet back in 1950 and 1959. And I remember the 59 part. I actually remember the 59 part when the Dalai Lama was just a boy. And I was a boy. I was 11 years old. Number of deaths in Tibet. The envelope, please. Oh, wait, I got to do this. Like, you know, remember Johnny Carson? Take the answer out of the envelope. Zero. 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 That's the point I've been making. That's the thing I noticed that Johns Hopkins turned me on to this. There's something wrong here, folks. Something wrong. And that's why Winston Smith in the in 1984, his job in the Ministry of Truth, Mini-True, was he was the hero, you could say the anti-hero in the dystopian novel, 1984. His job was to make sure that inconsistencies and leaks or truth was edited out of history, edited out of the newspaper and the history books and even the dictionary. So in the Ministry of Truth, he would get the tube would bring up to him an article about something like Tibet, like the 1950 and 59 revolt and invasion by the Chinese. A true or historical article would come up. Winston Smith's job as an employee of the deep state was to rewrite the story to make it politically correct, change whatever had to be changed. Then he would take the old story and insert that into, you know the spot, don't you? You put it back in the tube and you insert it into the memory hole, term invented by my cousin, George Orwell, a.k.a. Eric Arthur Blair, his actual family name. He changed his name to, he didn't want to embarrass his family, when he was actually, believe it or not, he had been suckered in by communism when he started writing as George Orwell. So I won't go too far afield with that story, but but anyway, under the name George Orwell, he picked the name Orwell. It was his favorite river, the Orwell. Winston Smith is to insert the old article, the truthful article, into the memory hole where it is to be burned up and lost forever. And then the new article is inserted into the archive so that somebody researching the question goes back and gets the authentic article of the actual reporting. But it's not the actual reporting. It's been rewritten by the Ministry of Truth. Now, that's what's going on in our world. That's happening. And here you see it right here in this Wikipedia article on Tibet. Obvious plain things about Tibet are somebody's removing them. Somebody is keeping them from your sight. I won't spend too much time on that article on Tibet, but I can tell you it's very misleading. And boy, have things changed since I was a boy. When I was a boy, I'm looking here, there are little figments of truth left in the Wikipedia there. They talk about the 1959 Tibetan Revolution, where the Tibetans fought for their freedom. And guess who was on the side of the Tibetan people back there in 1959? The United States of America. Yeah. And I remember that. Who else was on their side? The nation of India. And the Republic of China, which is now called Taiwan, to be politically correct. And on the other side was the People's Republic of China, Mao Zedong, that dumbbell. And the list here in this article, I have no idea as to how accurate this is, but it's shown that 85 to 87,000 Tibetans were killed in that freedom revolt by the Tibetans. And the claim is 2,000. They were able to kill 2,000 of the Red Chinese army that was raping their women and stealing their land. So the here's a quote from Mao Zedong. Mao Tse, we said Mao Tse Tung back when I was a kid. But now I think the more fashionable thing is Mao Zedong. And he said this: the more chaotic the situation in Tibet becomes, the better. For it will help train our troops and toughen the masses. Train our troops. So they were using the Tibetan people for what? Target practice and for the men, and recreation on the women. Furthermore, the chaos will provide a sufficient reason to crush the rebellion and carry out reforms in the future. Remember, isn't that one of the favorite words of our liberal elite? Reforms, like immigration reform. If you see the word reform in any political writing, you know that's the signature of the left, of the Maoists. And by the way, many of the people, hoary-headed, gray-headed stars of modern media, the enemy of the people media, they were Maoists in college back at this time I'm talking about, or in high school, they were Maoists. Fans of Mao's Little Red Book. There we go. So, well, this is a great, great story here. I'll have to come back and read this. But anyway, there's the moral of the story. No Tibetans have died of this. Now, I can repeat the example for you over and over again around the world. But now let me get to the drift of my main story here. Where do we stand right now with the Wuhan Chinese virus? Well, something else I told you. The same day I told you to, hey, buy into the stock market the day before it rose by 10, almost 10 percentage points, 2,000 points on the Dow average. Oh, my gosh. I hope some of you did it. Another thing I told you then was the graph that's showing on the Johns Hopkins website of the new cases graph, showing the slope upward of new cases in Red China. I said, this is a virus. It's going to behave the same way among Europeans as it is among Chinese. And so we're going to see the development of the disease, and the numbers are going to be the same. The graph is going to rise at the same rate over the same interval, and then the slope is going to look the same. So obviously, that's a prediction on my part, an educated guess. Turns out I was right. If you look at this graph, I'm looking at it right now. The Chinese graph went up for about, let's see, let me count them again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. It went up steeply for 8 weeks. More and more Chinese testing positive for the coronavirus, whether they're asymptomatic or symptomatic. Most of them, 85% of them, asymptomatic. Nothing wrong. They don't even know they're sick. But the test says, yeah, you've got the virus. You have been exposed to the virus. All right. For 8 weeks. Then, and this is where I reassured you, I said, hey, don't get your panties in a twist. Don't have a panic attack. Don't get hysterical. Don't buy into the BS from the enemy of the people media, because they want to whip you into hysteria. I said, after 8 weeks, that graph tops out and suddenly, drastically goes flat. The epidemic is over. And if you look at this graph, you have to look at it yourself. It's the most convincing thing. If your hands are free and you can do it, go to what's the URL? It's easier to just search it up. Just search up Johns with the S on the end, Hopkins dashboard. It's all you need to search. Johns Hopkins dashboard. If you want, add the word coronavirus. And you'll come up with this graph, which is at the, once you get there, go to the map, click on the map. It will then expand to be your whole screen. Then at the dashboard, then at the bottom right, you'll see three graph lines that are kind of fuzzy in the small version, the thumbnail version. Click on the expand button that's at the upper right of that box, and then it'll take over your whole screen. And you'll be looking at what I'm looking at, which is the key. After 8 weeks, the epidemic in China ended. Finito. Terminal. Done. Over. And right now, for the last, okay, that's 8 weeks, for the last 10 weeks, the Chinese epidemic has been over. Did anybody tell you that on CNN? What? They didn't let you in on that? Why would they hide a fact like that? Why would those SOBs, excuse me, why would those journalists hide such a fact from the American people? Did you know, as MSDNC told you, that the Chinese this week closed their last Wuhan virus hospital because they don't have any more patients? What? Look it up. You think I'm making that up? Look it up. Did the lamestream media tell you that the Chinese doctors, who now have nothing to do, are being shipped to Italy to treat Wuhan virus patients? They didn't tell you that? They forgot? Yeah, it's over in Asia. It's not only over in China, it's over in Asia. I've been talking about this for, I don't know, what, a week, 2 weeks? The numbers in Hong Kong, still zero. The numbers in Singapore, still zero. Taiwan, still zero. Macau, still zero. With the number of deaths, for instance, in Hong Kong recently rose, apparently another person died, from 3 to 4. Hong Kong is a city of 7.5 million people. But Singapore's at zero, Macau's at zero, Taiwan, I think, is at one. 23.5 million people, one. So here's the good news for you folks. Our graph, you'll see the yellow graph. The yellow, that's the orange line, the Chinese. The yellow line is us, everybody else except the Chinese. Our graph just did exactly what the Chinese graph did with a delay factor of, let me count it here, how many weeks are we behind? 10 weeks behind, give or take. 10 weeks behind our graph is. So, and our graph looks exactly, statistically speaking, it's a carbon copy of the Chinese graph. We just had our big ascent. So you'll notice on your news today, oh my God, Italy, they're dying like flies in Italy. 300 people died yesterday in Italy. Yeah, that's right. It's not a fake fact. They just had their biggest day of deaths. And you'll see it on the graph. Just as the Chinese, 10 weeks ago, they had a day like that. They had two of those days. And followed, and then I predicted it right here on this show. I said, this is going to level off now. We're at the peak. It's going to level off. You watch. It just leveled off, folks. I turned my computer on this morning. I updated my Johns Hopkins graph here. And like a rubber stamp carbon copy of the Chinese graph, the graph that includes all of us Europeans, including the Italians, is an is a carbon copy. So I'll tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Same way I was able to predict the stock market, just by using my brain. The tomorrow and in subsequent weeks, the European and the rest of the world, Wuhan virus graph is going to be flat. It's going to mimic the Chinese graph. And with the only variation in that being some areas that got into this more than 10 weeks, it'll depend on when the graph started in each location. But the overall average graph right now, which includes America and the rest of the world and Italy and Spain, the two countries where they're having a train wreck, and Iran, they're averaged in. So there's a little bit of a blur there. But we watch. I'll see you tomorrow night right here in the Trump Clubhouse, and I'll tell you what the graph did in the ensuing 24 hours, and then the day after that and the day after that. But now here's the reassuring thing, folks. We just went through the worst part of our graph, and now we're going to be in the part of the graph that's like the Chinese, no more cases. Now, I think we here in the United States are behind the Italians because thanks to one man, Donald John Trump, who said, keep those Chinese out of our country. And then when they started rerouting them through Europe, he said, keep the Europeans and the European planes out of our country. So Donald Trump delayed the onset of any large-scale Wuhan virus in the U.S. So we probably haven't had our worst days yet. The Italians have. So our worst days are yet to come. However, how bad are our worst days going to be? Well, I don't think they're going to be anything close to the Italian experience. We have now had, let me look at my list here, total deaths here in the U.S., and I'm going to now get into this topic. Again, trying to encourage you, 57 deaths. Now, when you drill down into that, you find out in just about every case, you know, Joe was 81 years old. Jane was 83 years old. Doris was 79. You know, I'm just making up names. Joe had COPD, pulmonary disease. And so on. Serious life-threatening diseases already pre-existent before they ever got the Wuhan virus. And the Wuhan virus, which strikes, is a pulmonary infection. That is, it cuts your air via the means of pneumonia, which is a secondary cause. Pneumonia is what is killing these people, not a virus. The virus causes pneumonia, which is the reaction of your body minus an immune system to an infection of virus, which is replicating in your body by the billions, by the minute. So without that immune system, you're a goner. Your lungs, which are already at 20% normal capacity, or 40% because you're 81, you have COPD, you've got an inhaler thing, you know, and oxygen going to your nose, you're barely alive. And now your lungs start to fill with fluid and swell up with pneumonia. You're dead. Now, there is a way to keep you alive that I'm going to encourage you with more stuff. Nobody in this audience is going to have that experience. But let's say there is someone who is going to have that experience. Okay, one of the things you might need, let me look it up. Boy, I don't have it in front of me here. Why didn't I write this down? Okay, it's... Oh, I've got to remember the name. Hang on, I'll remember it. There, one of the procedures that could save you, if you're 81 years old and you have COPD, and everything's going wrong for you, in the United States, there are things available that could save you that are only in the United States, nowhere else except Germany. There are a few in Germany, and I'm going to have to do this from memory. Okay. I know I wrote it down, but this thing that we have, which was invented by an American, is a machine that does – oh, here it is. Get this. Don't worry. The Italians don't have any of these. The French don't have any. The British don't have any. The Iranians, oh, sure, don't have any. It's called an extracorporeal membrane oxygenation circuit. Extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. What does that mean? Extracorporeal, meaning out of your body, outside your body. A membrane oxygenation, meaning getting oxygen to your tissue. And another name for that is, that's an ECMO machine. There are 500, see, I wrote this down somewhere. It's approximately 550 of these. 550 American hospitals have these machines, singular or plural. Outside of the United States, nobody, except the Germans, have about 50 hospitals, I think. It might be less than that, 40 maybe, the German hospitals that have ECMOs. Now, what can that do? When your system is shutting down and you're not getting oxygen to your tissue because your heart, your cardiopulmonary system is breaking down, this can step in and take over. It's a hell of a machine. I don't remember the inventor's name. John Hesham Gibbon. Died in 1973 at the age of 66. What a shame. He died at 66. The guy, the surgeon, John Hesham Gibbon, who invented this thing, and there's a second name for it. ECMO is extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. The other is extracorporeal life support, ECLS. This is two names for the same machine. And you know, the left, the pukes of the left were all getting all bent out of shape and getting their panties in a twist over, we don't have enough ventilators, Mr. President. You are a slob. You are a disgrace to the office. You don't have enough ventilators ready and waiting for wrong, jackasses. The President of the United States is at the head of the greatest medical system in the history of the world. And this incredible machine, the extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, which may be called to save the life of people that could never be saved in Italy or Iran or Spain, because they don't even have the machine. We have 550 hospitals that all have such machines. Obviously, the people that know how to operate them. So, wrong, Chris Cuomo. You ought to listen to your brother Andrew, who's got a better take on it as to why we don't need to get freaked out. Now, yes, these are people that are 80 years old. They have these other conditions. And this, oh, there was a tremendous, oh my goodness, I should have this screen. I had a screen up earlier this morning on the percentage of people at different age brackets who get the virus and then subsequently get serious complications. The younger they are, it's infinitesimal. It's basically zero. It only jumps up. In fact, I looked at the age bracket I'm in, 72. Even my age bracket is not that bad. It's 80 and up that gets where there's real danger. 80 and up. So if you have a grandma who's 80 or a grandpa who's 85, you want to make sure they stay isolated and just basically hide them away. Just, you know, have them just camp out at home for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that's the smartest thing you can do as regards they have some risk. And they are people who might need an extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. If they already have, you know, they've already got an inhaler, they've already got oxygen, they're already wheezing. So there you have it. And you, on the other hand, and I, healthy people, we could be carrying this virus, have no idea we have it. 85 or more percent of us would have no idea that we have it. I might have it right now. That was the absurdity of these pukes at the news conferences, badgering the president. You haven't taken a test. What's wrong with you? You haven't taken a test. And questioner after questioner. You know, you just asked me that question. The last jackass asked me that question. shut up and sit down. You haven't taken a test. When are you going to take a test? Well, I'll tell you what I might have said if I were the president sitting there with them. Of course, I can't do this. He can't say the kind of stuff I say. And that's as it should be. But I would have said, hey, all of you jackasses here, you're guests in my house. This is the White House. I was elected president of the United States. And it is at my pleasure that you're sitting on my lawn in my folding chairs. And if you're going to ask me this question one more time, I want all of you to frog march over to that ambulance and we're going to test all of you because you're in my house. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
United States, we're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first.
Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed?
There's things to be done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first.
Hey, we're back, folks. are rebuilding America first, and the in Trump time. That's a new term I heard just this morning. I heard somebody using it. Was it Devin Nunes? It was somebody on the Trump team who said, we're doing this in Trump time. I like that very much. Trump time, which means ASAP. Get her done. I like that. And that's one thing that Trump is doing here that the pukes and the enemy of the people media won't credit. He's blasting through the BS obstacles of all of their bureaucracy, which was built by these pukes, all of these pompous asses in the bureaucracy who tell you you can't do something. They spend their time telling you you can't do something. You can't build this. You can't drill that. You can't pave this. You can't go there. Here. You can't build that. You can't go there. You can't go here. You can't drink this. You can't eat that. You can't smoke this. They spend all their time telling you what you can't do. And the result is that innovation is suppressed. Donald Trump, by declaring his national emergency, brilliant, brilliant. He just blew through all of those curbs. He blew through the bureaucracy. So now a doctor, anywhere, a doctor can say, the president has declared it's a national emergency. My patient needs this. Damn it. That's what I'm doing with my patient. The president's national emergency cleared, gave me the green light to administer the treatment I need to administer, to try what I need to try, et cetera, et cetera. It gave companies the green light to develop a test 100 times faster than any stupid government bureaucracy can develop testing or drugs or treatments or anything else. So that's what the president has unleashed, the genius of private initiative in America. Now, let me, I'll tell you what, I just noticed something during the break here. I looked up epidemiology, which is, you know, Kelso, use your brain. It never occurred to me that epidemiology is the study of epidemics. What? How did I miss that? And so I looked that up, epidemiology, and the term epidemic. Guess who coined the term? A European fellow named Hippocrates. You know, the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. He came up with the term epidemic, which means a disease seen at some times but not others. We got a hard break here. We'll be through this, and I'll go back to Hippocrates in a moment. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.